So a few weeks ago when we started this series, we talked about these three different types of calling. A vocational calling, an outward calling, as well as an inward calling. And when we hear this concept of calling in a Christian context, almost always we think of this vocational calling. It's this, when people refer to it as being called to preach. That's what we think of when we think of this calling. Well, so when you saw the title of today's message was Called to Minister, you might be thinking that I'm going to tell you about that time way back in July of 1990 when God burdened my heart with an intense desire to be able to serve Him full time in my life. And so, as we move forward today, that's actually not what I'm going to be talking about. But rather, we're going to be talking about the calling that came many years even before that. You see, my call to minister came in November of 1979. And yes, I was just a child at that point in time. I was a few weeks ahead of my seventh birthday. And it was at that point in time when I trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You see, every follower of Christ has a call on his or her life to minister on Christ's behalf. Let me explain. You see, this word minister in the Bible is synonymous with the word serve. We studied last week about the situation the first church in Jerusalem faced in dealing with the distribution of the food among the widows in the church. Do you remember what their solution was to that dilemma? We found it in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says there that they chose, let me just read it. Verse 1, now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. You see, what those men were chosen to do was to serve. And so the English word for a deacon is actually a transliteration of the Greek word to serve here. It's the diakonos, or service, or ones who are servants. And so we find this concept as one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. This is a servant, an attendant, or a minister. So when they had a problem in the church, they appointed servants to take care of that problem. Well, as we said last week, deacons are specially designated servants of the church. Men who have proven themselves to be faithful to the church, faithful to their family, as well as faithful to their Lord. And because of the high moral standards the Bible sets forth for these men, many have elevated this group to some type of leadership board in the church. But the reality is that they have been set apart as servants. But as we'll see in just a few minutes, Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest among us, then be a servant. In God's economy, being a servant is not a demotion. In fact, Jesus told his disciples that the one who wanted to lead needed to be a servant and slave to all. Did you hear that? A servant and slave to all. We'll read this in just a moment from Mark chapter 10 if you want to be making your way there. But Jesus said that the one who wanted to be the greatest needed to be a servant, a diakonos, and a slave or bondservant, a doulos, to all. These are the two words that we find in the Bible that refer to the attitudes and the actions of a person who is a person of humility. This was Jesus' attitude that was so beautifully described in Philippians chapter 2 by the Apostle Paul. He said in verse 4, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." What is that mindset? He described it in verse 6, 7, and 8. He said, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, to the point of death, even death on a cross." You know, Paul doesn't stop there. The Bible doesn't stop there. It continues to talk about this need to serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, "Through love we are to serve one another." Peter taught in 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So this ministry or this service to one another is an expectation as well as a responsibility of every child of God. That's why I said I received this call to minister in November of 1979 when I trusted in Christ as my Savior. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 is so important to us as the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And I've taken out a couple of more words. Hopefully you're ready to say this with us. If not, maybe this will motivate you for next time. Verse 1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I got to be honest, I thought I might forget those that time. Let's go on to verse 11. Hopefully I'm going to get this one right. "And he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of this," thank you whoever said that, "to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Amen. So did you notice some of the key words? Can we go back to the previous slide? Did you notice some of the key words in this verse? Words like calling, which most of them aren't up there at the moment, but the blanks are there, right? Words like calling, or the word humility is up there. The word love, bearing with one another in love. You see, without love and humility, we will never live the life of a servant of God that he has called us to live. Love and humility brings about the ability to serve one another. In verses 11 through 13, did you notice that key phrase in the middle of the passage? It said, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry." In other words, to equip the saints for the work of service or serving. Each of us is called to minister. Each of us is called to serve. So as we consider this idea of being called to minister or serve, I want to look back at a passage I read from just a few, or looked at just a few minutes ago in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45 is what we're going to be looking at today. So if you want to open your Bible, we'll be looking at that in just a second. So our goal this morning is to see what Jesus thinks about this idea of service and serving, and give each of you an opportunity to put feet to your faith. We cannot forget what James wrote in James 4:17. He said, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So let's look at Mark 10, beginning in verse 35. The Bible says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him," to Jesus, "and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory.' Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared.' And when the ten," meaning the other disciples, "and when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, this morning as we look at this passage, I want us to consider four big ideas. And the first point this morning is that James and John were chasing fame and glory. They were trying to find out the answer to the question of who's the greatest. If I can be given the right hand and you can be given the left hand of the Father, then that means we must be the greatest. Well, if we look at the previous chapter, Mark chapter 9, we will note that this was not the first time that the disciples were concerned about who the greatest was among them. In Mark 9, verse 2, we find here that Peter, James, and John all witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus on the southern ridge of Mount Hermon, about 12 miles from Caesarea Philippi. And Peter, while they were up there, he looked at Jesus, and I'm sure what Peter said was what was in the mind of James and John as well. He looked and he said, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. It's good that we are here." You see, witnessing this event set them apart, at least in their minds, being able to be there, set them apart from the other disciples. They experienced this special event. Then on the way back to Capernaum, later in that same chapter, the disciples had a full-blown discussion. No, a full-blown argument about which one of them was the greatest of the disciples. And so Jesus called them out for this. In Mark 9, verse 35, Jesus said, "If anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. Now you would think that being rebuked by Jesus publicly saying, quit arguing over who's the greatest. If you want to be the greatest, be the servant to all. You would think that that would squelch the discussion. But it seemed to only delay the discussion. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline. And in that, he describes a lot of different spiritual disciplines. And one of those disciplines that he describes is the discipline of service. And in his book, he wrote this. He said, how like chickens we are. In the chicken pen, there is no peace until it is clear who is the greatest and who is the least. And who is that? Which rung everywhere in between. A group cannot be together for very long until the pecking order is clearly established. I don't know if you are familiar with that term, but if you're familiar with the term, I assume you're familiar with where it came from. From chickens. He also wrote this. He went on and said, whenever there's trouble over who is the greatest, there is trouble over who is the least. That is the crux of the matter for us, isn't it? Most of us know we will never be the greatest. Just don't let us be the least. That's what's in the heart of everyone who is honest with themselves. Well, James and John had a plan. And their plan was to make sure that they were not among the least. They wanted to be among the greatest. In fact, in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 20, we see that Matthew tells a story slightly differently because James and John's mother, Salome, was the one who asked Jesus for that favor. You know, can you imagine your mom going to work and talking to your boss and say, hey, can you put my baby in charge? I could see my mother doing it, but you know. They wanted to be Jesus' right and left hand men. You see, they were trying to become influencers. They wanted power. They wanted authority. They wanted to be beside Jesus. So let's look at the second thing. Trying to become an influencer. Who's beside you? Well, James and John approached Jesus privately and respectfully to make this request, asking him, have you ever done this? Asking them to grant the request even before they told him what the request was. The Bible Knowledge Commentary said they asked for the places of highest honor and authority in his glory. The messianic kingdom rule, which they expected was about to be established, one of them wished to sit at his right, the highest position, and the other at his left, the next highest place in the royal court. You see, when the other disciples heard about what John and James had done, they were frustrated. They were, the Bible says, indignant. One commentator noted that this jealous reaction of the other 10 disciples indicates that they also harbored selfish ambitions. Why would they get upset if James and John asked for that if they themselves did not want it also? Well, Jesus did not rebuke them this time, but he also did not grant their request. Instead, he reiterated to them what he had taught them before, this time with a different illustration and emphasis. He focused on the Gentile leaders. And so once again, Jesus has flipped the script on them. Let's look at these next few verses in Mark chapter 10. Flipping the script, who's really the greatest? You see, he used the rulers of the Gentiles as an illustration of what not to do. In verse 42, Jesus describes both good and bad Gentile leaders. Did you notice what it says? You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. So he's saying here are two examples of leaders, one good, one bad. I don't want you to be like either one of them, is what Jesus is saying. Neither one of these examples is what Jesus is calling them to do, but rather he says in verse 43, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. He calls them to be servants, diakonos. He calls them to be slaves, doulos, or bond servants to all. The greatest, he said, is the least. Well, you know, when we're looking for men and women of God here in the church to function as leaders or serve in different capacities, we must seek out men and women who put the needs of others first, who do not strive for power and authority, and men and women who are willing to serve rather than be served by others. That's who we're looking for. That is what God is calling each of us to do. Serve others rather than be served by others. You see, folks, 1 Corinthians 12 gives us a beautiful picture of how that we are the body of Christ. And each one of us has a function or role in this body. Therefore, we must function in the role that God has gifted us and equipped us to do. My question to you today is, what's your role? I've got some young men who have been voluntold to help me this morning. And they're going to start handing something out to you. I'll tell you what it is as it's coming your way. It's a simple little card. Hopefully the print's not too small. If it is, borrow the glasses from your neighbor. But basically, at the top, it has a place for your name. And then your phone number. I know I probably have most of your phone numbers, but if I don't. And then it says, I would be interested in serving in or learning more about the following areas of ministry. And we've got five different areas. Let me say, this is not a comprehensive list, but it is a list that will help us to have the opportunity to find out how you are interested in serving. Because, folks, every single one of us has this call if we have trusted in Christ as our Savior. So I've invited a few people up to help me this morning. Brother David, if you want to be coming, he gets to go first because we'll depend on how long everybody else gets to talk by how long Brother David talks, right? That was ugly, but it was fun also. David's going to come and talk to you about the music ministry. Brother David? Oh, you've got a mic. My bad.
So I've been asked to share just a little bit about kind of our music ministry and one of the ways it's almost most accessible for everybody to get involved, and it actually has to do with our choir ministry. And some of you may be wondering, you may be looking and you're saying, but where are the risers? What kind of choir ministry are we talking about? Well, this is one that functions more on a seasonal capacity, and definitely functions during our Christmas season. And very heavily involved in our Christmas Eve service, but also functions from time to time during Easter. If Easter's real early, it usually doesn't. But if Easter is a little later, it's one that can be brought in there. And I want to share very quickly and briefly that I think one of the most unique things about this particular ministry, in light of what Pastor Wade has shared with us this morning, is it is very much a cooperative ministry. It is not something that is meant to be a who's the best singer. You cannot have a choir by its strictest definition with one voice. You can't even have it necessarily with two voices and three voices, because we got different terms for those. And you can't even have it with four voices, but you really have to have a group of people working together with one goal in mind. Because at its heart, it's cooperative, but it is also a ministry of exaltation. Not a ministry of self-exaltation, but a ministry of exalting Christ with the hope and the goal of leading others to exalt Christ as well. So that's just a very brief spiel on the ministry itself. But what's very unique and wonderful is that you can step right into it. We don't necessarily require that you have experience. I mean, that would be helpful to you personally. But we want you to come, jump in, and be involved and join us together in exalting Christ and exalting Him together and leading others to exalt Him as well. So that's what I've got there.
Thank you, Dave. You know, I have a friend that attended a church that we were once a part of that could not sing a lick, but he was always in the choir. I mean, you know who I'm talking about. And I asked him one day, I said, Rob, why are you in the choir if you can't sing? He said, I like these people. It's like, okay. Well, Brother John's going to come. But as you can see under the creative arts ministries, there are lots of different ways that you can get involved. Choir being one, but there's also the worship team, drama team, or being behind the scenes with drama. Brother John's going to talk to you for just a moment about everything that goes into the production that is a Sunday morning and the media tech team.
Good morning. Please don't glaze over your eyes just if you think you're of a certain age. I promise you, Troy knew more about technology than I could ever hope to have known, and we lost a good resource with him. But our there's really kind of, well, it depends on what part of the technology, and I'll try not to be, again, boring. But there's sort of an upstairs, and then there's sort of a downstairs kind of view of our media technology. And the upstairs, we have three positions, and it's called slides and streaming and then soundboard. The streaming, all three of those, you don't really notice them until they're not working. And there's a lot of a lot of stuff that goes into that, but we've got it pretty streamlined now. And I was actually talking to Laura, or actually not Laura, I was talking to my friend Alan. I said, last week I was able to sit down, and I think that's the last time I've been able to sit down for like 13 months with my kids and actually worship. So we've got it in a good place now. So it's not like you have to be, you know, I've got a music degree, so you don't have to have any type of degree to come up there and push buttons. The slides is probably the easiest. You're just following along. The streaming's a little more difficult because you have to turn on the cameras, make sure everything's going well. And then the soundboard's more fun and creative, so you get to kind of mix, and if you don't want to hear Wade, well, you have the slide. But there's also like software, and you know, there's some hardware stuff as we, you know, try to get internet to certain places. We do have TVs that are streaming what we're doing right now, so people who can't necessarily sit here in a chair, but they can stand or stretch their legs. We do have it piped into different places, and we're going to expand that. So there's a lot of opportunities, and there's some things that, again, there's just a lot of stuff that happens, and you don't have to be technical, you know, or have a technical degree to get up there. So we're actually going to have a meeting September 15th. That's going to go over all of that. So if you're interested, September 15th, after church, and I'll make it really short, I promise. All right.
Thank you, John. So these are some of the ways that you could serve with our media tech team. We also have need for people who help us with social media or with our website, or really, if you're a photographer, and I'm sorry, all of us are photographers now, aren't we? You know, a photographer, a videographer, you know, having those updated images on our website is really important. And, you know, having a social media presence. These are ways that you can serve with the creative arts ministry. Now, this next section is the administrative services. I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Rick Johnson to come. He is the chairman of our building committee. I put it under administrative services because it's just a bunch of stuff that has to get done, you know? It can't go by the wayside. And so Brother Rick's going to tell you a little bit about that in regard to building and grounds.
Good morning. So if any of y'all know me very well, you know I'm not a mechanical or a technical type of person. In fact, Susan and my girls always judge the success of a project that I work on at the house of whether I tore something up, whether I drew blood, or whether I hurt myself or not. You know, so when Wade asked me to be, you know, kind of head up the building committee, I said, no, I don't know about that. He said, well, let's take a look at the administrative thing, side of things. So, okay, I can handle that. So I'm much better at, you know, the administrative things, communicating, coordinating, you know, and helping with those kinds of things. So we do have a building committee here. It's responsible for the interior and the exterior of the facilities, the church building, but also we have two rent houses. There's one right across the driveway here and then two doors down on Dixieland. So we have rent houses that we're responsible for. And then also, Wade didn't tell me this till after I said I'd do it, the vans are part of the building committee responsibility.
Van?
The van, yeah, that's right. We only have one now. So at that time, it was two. So there's a lot of technical, a lot of maintenance type of issues that we have. As y'all know, the buildings are getting older. In fact, some of them are rather old, and we need maintenance and repairs. But we need people who maybe have some plumbing experience, some electrical experience, drywall, painting, landscaping, yard work, you know, those kinds of things. But even also cleaning and organizing. You know, being able to, you know, get into some of these closets and some of these hallways and let's, you know, clean and organize and that kind of thing. So you don't have to be technical at all. You can, or mechanical at all. You can help in all different regards. So I would also, one last thing, I would like to identify some professionally licensed companies or individuals, plumbers, electricians, those kinds of things that, like, we could call on when we have an issue. Coordinate schedules with them to get them here to where they can, you know, help us out. Some of y'all may know Stephen Guthrie. He used to be a member here at Temple years ago, and he owns Guthrie Heating and Air. And so anytime, and we've had to call him several times, even recently, but anytime we call him, he's good about getting here and helping get us back up and running again. So I'd like someone like that, if I could, get an electrician or a plumber, that we could call on, you know, those things where we really need licenses and need people who better understand. So if you all know any of those people, let me know. But also, if you're interested in helping, check that box under the building committee there, and we'll be in contact. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. You know, one of the things that's really cool about the way the building committee functions is that, you know, different people have different roles that they just take care of. You may or may not realize this, but if there's a light out somewhere in the building, Adam Simpson's going to change it. By the way, Adam, this light over here, I think the ballast has gone out, so if you want to take a look at that. I know you have nothing else going on these days, so, you know. But that's a way that people are able to serve. I also listed their kitchen and hospitality. Susan would love to have people come in and help to keep the kitchen clean and doing some things like that. That would be that area. Jereen Redden's going to come. She's going to tell you about a different aspect of things that happen. She actually heads up a decorating team that deals with more than just Christmas decorations. They deal with all kinds of different stuff in and around the building.
There are two big volunteer events in the decor department. And one is Thanksgiving and one is Christmas. And you're probably familiar with them because we make that pretty public. On Thanksgiving, mostly we need people to decorate tables for our Thanksgiving feast. You'll have a chance to do that. But if you're not into table decorating and you want to help out in another way, we usually try to decorate the entrance, and we need signage, and there's a variety of things. And if you'll talk to me, I have a chart with all of the things that we need to do for Thanksgiving. Christmas is the next, or the really big one. There's a lot that goes into get getting Christmas ready, getting our church ready for Christmas in the decor realm. For example, when we meet, we have to clear the stage. We have to have somebody haul the trees in from the shed. We have to set up the trees. We have to reset the stage for next Sunday. Then we have to haul storage bins from upstairs and bring them down here, unload the garlands. So we need somebody to put up the garlands and the light. Those are our ladder people, people who can climb ladders. And
also Adam Simpson, actually.
Yeah. Yes. And we need people like spotters just to sit out here and say, that's not uniform, you need to lift this. I mean, just people to stand here and help us get everything uniform. We need people to hang wreaths. We need people to haul this Christmas card unit, metal thing that's back here in the back, set it up out there. We need people to make, update the labels that are on it for new families that have come in. And all of this happens when we decorate for Christmas. Then we have to hide all the bins until Christmas is over. We have to clean up the area, store the ladders, reset the chairs that have been moved about. It all happens when we meet that night. We have a night for you, December the 1st. We're going to have a business meeting that night, and then we will decorate for Christmas. The last 2 or 3 years, it's been kind of slack with workers, and the people that come have to do double duty and stay extra long. We really could use more participation on this one if we are to continue doing all that we do for Christmas. So keep that in mind, and please don't schedule any events for December the 1st that night so that you won't have that excuse like, oops, I would come except, you know, that sort of thing. We need a lot of help on December the 1st. This also doesn't end on December the 1st because we're going to meet back after on the week of December the 29th, and we have to tear everything down. We have to haul it back upstairs and back up to out to the shed and clean up everything. We will do this, we will start this after the worship service on December the 29th. We'll start tearing things down.
After the fifth Sunday fellowship dinner.
Oh, after the fifth Sunday fellowship dinner. Okay, there's
because
that.
We need to celebrate
there's
my birthday
that
day.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
All right. We can't forget that.
Don't worry. We will give you some of these details again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In addition to all of those things, there are a few things that go on year around that you may or may not know about. Jenny Harris helps me. She, if you see floral up here, Jenny has done that. Usually, almost all the time. And Jenny and I both have issues with climbing stairs up and down. Mine are my knees, she has foot problems. We have a variety of issues that makes it unsafe for us to climb up down the stairs. If we had a few able-bodied Claire Steimer, stair climbers, Claire Steimer. I like that. I might keep that. If we had some people that could climb stairs and you would give me your phone number, I could text you and tell you when something needs to go up or when something needs to come down, and that might prevent an accident. I'm not sure. Also, clutter. If you look around and you see clutter, it would be really helpful if you can organize or declutter or anything you see needs to be done in the church, because there's not one person that does all that. And we might even, our jobs cross over with Brother Rick's son. So I'm going to mention the flower beds and the entrances that get cluttered with grass clippings and trash that blows in. Anybody wants to help with that, give me your name. We'll sign you up and let you take care of that. When you see clutter, just act like your mom. Pick it up.
Thank you, mother-in-law.
Yes.
Here's your list. I don't need it. Yes, ma'am. Don't fall. So here's the gist of all of that. If something happens in this place, someone volunteers to do it, essentially. Unless it's me or David and or Elaine or, you know. But yeah, we've got to have volunteers. Safety and security team, ushering team is also on this list. At this time, I'm going to call Miss Peggy Brown to come, and she's excited about coming up here as well. The care ministry here at Temple Baptist Church takes on different forms. That can be a mentoring or discipleship type ministry. It could be taking care of people within your community groups. You know, like if they have a need, you know, whatever. But one of the things that Miss Peggy's a part of is our guest services team. So Miss Peggy, tell us about guest services.
Well, get my stuff together here. I'm not the whole team. I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm not the whole team. We have a number of others that serve on the team. We have Brother George and Brother Russell, who are our front guys out in the front of the church. They play a vital role in making sure that everyone gets in, and they're the first ones who greet people. So they're very important in this role. And, you know, they do a great job. And then Rick and Susan, I think, are part of the greeting team, right? And Lonnie and June, right? I don't want to overlook anyone, but I think these are the ones that mainly do it. If any of the rest of you do and I overlook you, I apologize. We all greet each other. I've never seen anybody in this church not greet visitors. It's a welcoming church. We all play a role in this. I've been to two different churches in the last 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks I was gone, I was visiting with my granddaughter in Little Rock and went to her church. It's just a small community church. Couldn't have felt more welcome. People were very welcoming, wanted to talk to you, wanted to know about you. Last Sunday, I was in a mega church in Keller, Texas. I felt the same way. People were welcoming. You think when you go to a larger church like that, that, you know, you won't be welcomed, you'll be overlooked. I didn't feel that way. I felt very welcome. That's how we need to be in our church. We need to welcome people. We need to find out about them, find out if they need anything. You know, part of the greeting is showing people where the bathrooms are, showing young families who have young children, children's church, Sunday school, whatever they need, that's what we need to provide for them. You know, if they are having trouble finding a seat, then we need to help them find a seat. You know, just whatever they need. So, my husband was a minister. Most of you know that. I've been in many different churches over the years. And you can always tell when you walk into a church what it's going to be like. If there's not somebody friendly standing out there, ready to shake your hand, ready to welcome you, ready to show you where you can sit or what, you know, where things are, then you can just pretty much tell that that's not somewhere you want to be. So we want to be a church where people want to be. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Miss Peggy. In that regard, statisticians that evaluate church ministry say that people make a decision before they ever get into the door as to whether they're going to go back to that church or not. So if you have a smiling face, we want you to be a part of our guest services team. If you don't, there are other places you can serve. All right. Well, if you noticed, I have asked Miss Leslie O'Connor to come and tell us a little bit about Kids Time, but she also has some guests that she's bringing with her this morning. And are they going to come?
They're coming.
Norm. Are y'all coming, Norm? Maybe, maybe not.
I brought props.
We brought props. In case you didn't know, we needed help in the back. Here's evidence for that. Right on the cue.
Okay, hi, my name is Leslie O'Connor, and these guys make up part of our kids ministry we call Kids Time, and we meet in the back while you guys are out here. So on Sunday morning, to be fully staffed, we need 5 people. And the way that goes is we call our opening act is our beginning, and that's Mr. Stephen Fulfer. And he's there to greet the kids as they come in. He interacts with them, talks to them. When he gets started, he leads them in worship music. He shows videos. He reads them stories. They color a picture. It ties into our lesson. So when Mr. Stephen gets finished, then he comes out here. So if you see him coming in, like the,
always late.
He is not late every Sunday. He's been serving in the back.
Amen.
If you ever see Miss Jereen or Miss Joanna come tearing through one of these doors, it's because they serve up here, they go in the back, they serve in the back, and then they have people texting them, they run back out here, and then we have to have people cover their classes. So we have some amazing staff. But I would love to have a list of a couple of people that could be subs for Mr. Stephen. He's back there every Sunday. So if there's times he needs to be away, it would be awesome to have someone cover for him. And then when he's finished, we split into 2 groups. So we call them the bigs and the littles. And the littles are our 2 to 5-year-olds. And then kindergarten up there and stay in the room we were in. So we keep them separate for lessons. We can teach at different levels. And we have to have 2 people in there. We have a teacher and an assistant. And I keep a schedule on the door back there. And most people sign up for 1 month at a time. You teach for 1 month. Now, as you notice, we have some kids ministry graduates out here that are also serving. Our youth have opportunities to come back and serve. I let them serve 2 Sundays, 1 month, and then they have to take off 3 or 4 Sundays because it's super important that they be out here. So they can serve a couple Sundays, take some time off, and then they can serve again. So that's 5 people. If you are interested, I would encourage you to come back and observe us, sit through a couple of classes, watch what Mr. Stephen does. That's the best way to kind of see if this is something that is for you. And I pray that it is, because we need help. And if you are not interested in serving, but you just kind of want to come back there and say, hey, what are they doing back here? You are more than welcome to come and sit and observe and interact with us and watch us. We would love to have you. Yeah. One more thing. Sometimes I do need people, thank you, Matt Landis and Seth Fulfer. Sometimes I need people to come back and like wear a long wig or be a puppet. And if you are interested in doing something like that, you let me know and I'll put you on a list and I may call you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Leslie. By the way, you see 10 kids up here. Nope, 11 kids up here this morning. A couple weeks ago, we had 17 kids back there. And so they definitely need your help. Thank you, guys. Y'all were awesome. You can go back to class now. Maybe. Bye. All right. I did this way this morning because recently I was asked, do we have any kids here? And I said, yeah. Yeah, we have kids here, but they didn't see them because they're in. We keep them sequestered, you know. But they're doing a great work back there. And the great part about being able to serve in our kids' time ministry is you can serve for a short stint of time and then be back out here and enjoy the time of worship and then go back and forth. And so this is one of our children's ministries. There's a list there of others. In case you were unaware, we're about to have a need for nursery workers every week. We have a couple of babies on the way, and nothing thrills Gary Townsend's soul more than to know that there are babies on the way. But we need nursery workers. Club 267 starts back this Wednesday night. We need more workers. If you're available from 6 o'clock to 7:30 on a Wednesday, they need your help. Brother David is always looking for people who love teenagers, and that is a rare quality, okay? And so he's looking for people who want to serve in the student ministry. And then, of course, we have teaching ministries we're always trying to develop new teachers. What I'm asking of you today is hear the pleas of these people that we need help. And here's an opportunity for you to just check and say, I'm interested. You're not committing to anything, just wanting more information. And again, like I said, this is nowhere near an exhaustive list of opportunities. But my prayer is that you will find your calling or your callings, as the case may be, and serve in a way that brings you joy and fulfillment. We don't want you to come up here and serve out of drudgery. We want you to enjoy what you're doing. That's why God gave all of us to this body of Christ, because each of us can fulfill a role in a way that brings us joy, that meets the need that we have here in this church. Now, something I think it's important to remind you of, God does not necessarily call the equipped. Rather, he equips the called. And we all have a call to minister. And you may not feel equipped to do whatever. I cannot help you if you feel called to do electrical work in the church. I cannot equip you in that way. But if there's other types of ministry that you feel that you want to do, but you just don't know if you're ready to do it, let us know and let us help you get ready for that. Well, we are over our time this morning, and I expected that to be the case, but I want to just take a couple more minutes of your time to look at the end of this passage and one other passage. And the last point that we're looking at this morning is this idea of being served versus being a servant. You see, the question is, who is our example? Jesus is our example. Jesus was a servant. He came not to be served, Mark 10:45 tells us, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, it's important to make a distinction here. Are we choosing to serve, or are we choosing to be a servant? And what's the difference? Well, when we choose to serve, we are still in charge. I'm choosing to serve you. If I choose to serve you, I can choose to not serve you. We decide who we will serve, when we will serve. But when we choose to be a servant, we give up the right to be in charge. When we choose to be a servant, we surrender the right to decide who and when and where we will serve. Richard Foster, going back to that book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster encourages us to consider the perspective of a slave. Because that's what Jesus said. He said to be a servant and a slave. Consider the perspective of a slave. A slave sees all of life from the viewpoint of slavery. He does not see himself as possessing the same rights as free men and women. Please understand me, he said. When this slavery is involuntary, it is cruel and dehumanizing. But when slavery is freely chosen, everything is changed. Voluntary servitude, he concludes, is a great joy. Isn't that the example we find from Philippians chapter 2? We read it earlier. We see that Jesus had this mindset. It said, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Look to the interest of others, not your own. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became a servant. not just any servant. He became a servant that humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death. This is the example we have of Jesus. He considered others more significant than himself. He put others' needs ahead of his own. He set aside his rights as the Creator God and became a servant to each and every one of us. But not just any servant. A servant who gave his life for us. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you will follow in his steps." Will you put others, this church and our community, will you put others ahead of your own selfish ambitions and your own selfish desires? Will you, and you know what? Can I just say on a side note? Time is our greatest commodity. I know that. I don't want to downplay what service offers. But will you put the needs of this church and your fellow believers ahead of your desires? Will you look at others as more significant than yourselves so that you're truly able to be a servant? Will you set aside your so-called rights? Will you humble yourself? Will you answer the call to serve? Our musicians are going to come, and you're going to have the opportunity now to think through, Lord, what do you want me to do in this place? And you may have already been serving for a long time in this place. Go ahead and mark that here. That way we know you don't want to quit. That would be great. But what is God calling you to do in regard to serving him in this place and serving one another? You may have something else all in your mind that you want to do. If that's the case, write it down. Make a new box that you can check off. Whatever God's calling you to do today, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to at least explore these things. Let's stand together as we sing.